Hello guys, Jack here from Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast, and yes, the rumours are true, we're heading back out on tour in May 2024. 68% of the tickets are already sold out, but there are still a few left at Edinburgh, Newcastle, Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham, Bristol, Bury and our home city of Norwich. So, don't waste any time, grab your tickets today and come and watch me, Alfie and Robbie live.
And me.
Mainly me, Alfie and Robbie, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
HappyHourLive.co.uk. See you in May.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Nozzers on the pod. Say
nozzers on the pod.
I hadn't really done much presenting.
Got to take those opportunities.
Yeah. So and then I got this little Facebook message, and we went to Fest Date. And the concept of Fest Date was to go around six UK festivals.
Yep. The idea was she would find a guy who wanted to go on a date. You'd find a girl, and by the end of it, they go on a date at one of the food trucks there.
After that, I think one of the next things we did was Hippie hipster.
That was the next thing.
How was that experience for you? Away from all these shoots, I think the main thing that we did together, the first thing where it's like you're in front of the camera, was FUBAR.
Yeah.
FUBAR Radio. We had a few close calls doing live radio. You're obviously going to slip up a couple of times. There's two that come to my mind.
Yep.
And then that leads us on to the Jack Mate podcast.
The guest that like really stand out to me, Eddie Hearn, was really good. He's a great storyteller.
Yeah.
Obviously, Gervais was really good.
Mm-hmm. Dynamo?
Dynamo, it was a bit awkward. Jack made me tell a dream. I told him a dream I had before it. A really weird dream.
Sex dream. I had a manager, YouTube manager. He, the first manager I ever had in the space. I thought it was a lot more official. He was actually a good manager. He was getting me some good gigs, but he had a murky past. A lot of YouTubers messaged me before I made this relationship and was like, watch him. He's done fraud before. So I was like, oh, this might not be
he's
good.
Done fraud. He's done fraud. Yeah. He's done some of that.
And after about a year and a half of not only being manager and client, but also being good pals, he just went to prison randomly. Let's finish on your meal, Dale.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm pescatarian, just to put that straight away, so I still hate fish, but I eat them because I hate them so much.
Jack Mate's Happy Hour. Hello, guys, and welcome back to Jack Mate's Happy Hour podcast. I'm your main man, Jack Mate, and then we've got my little side piece, Stevie White here.
Is that all I am to you?
You're more than that.
Thank you.
Side ho,
I think
they're called. And we've actually got a guest from back in the day. Sorry, that's my bootlegger impression.
I actually still have no idea who he is.
Oh, really?
I just hear you do that maybe twice a day.
You're right, Captain. I got a pilsner.
What does he do?
He drinks, boy. He drinks.
Okay. He drinks quite a lot. And he just flogs himself at the football. He's a big fan of Wrexham. And he just goes there and kicks off. And well, he didn't kick off, but... Have you seen the clip about where he talks about doing drugs?
No.
He's going nuts at the football and he just goes, do I do drugs? No, I used to, but now I get high on life and adrenaline, baby. He's good. Just check him out.
Sounds intense.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to introduce my guest, a good friend of mine from way back when, who a lot of you, if you're OG fans of the channel, Eve, will certainly know the face, if not the voice. We've done... FUBAR Radio. We've done the Jack Mate podcast. We did a series called Clickbait.
Yeah.
We've done lots of stuff. It's Nozza!
It was just sketches.
Yeah, we did some sketches, 4 hour sins.
All of them failed.
Yeah. Nozzers on the pod. Say Nozzers on the pod.
You just know.
Nozzers.
They've all failed. Nozzers on the pod. A little side dig in there just before that.
Have they all failed? I think the Jackmate podcast was actually a success because it honed. And the FUBAR was in many ways.
The podcast stopped because the YouTube space was a bit of a nightmare to get.
It was, and we like rented the equipment mainly from them, and sometimes we'd turn up and they'd be like, oh, that's all booked out.
Yes.
Good. And I didn't have anyone to do the cameras a lot of weeks.
So we left the cameras just rolling. It was very sketchy.
Yeah, and then FUBAR, you did some stuff with them over lockdown, didn't you?
Oh, God.
I noticed I was cropped out in the pictures of those as well.
Just, was you?
Before, Jack. It was just to be like the Jack Mate show, but it's just the Jack Mate show, you cropped out.
And yeah.
I actually, for the tweet you did to say it's going to be on here, I just Googled to find a picture of us. Saved the picture. The file was saved as Jack and Tim. I was like, sick.
That is brilliant. If you don't know what we're referring to, me and Tom used to do a radio show back in the day, about 4 years ago now, called FUBAR Radio. And those live radio shows got uploaded later on to audio platforms as a podcast. And we, during lockdown, bear in mind, I haven't done a show with them for 3 or 4 years. They rebranded the old shows as the Lockdown Podcast with Jack Mate and then just tried to get clicks off that. I wasn't too happy about that, but we sorted it out. I emailed Big Boy.
Big Boy.
I was going to say his name.
I like that you also said I emailed him and showed us a phone with your hand.
Yeah, but Tom, we go, how long have we been pals now?
Ever since the year of the festivals we went to, but I can't figure out how long that is. It must be 7 years?
It's got a good 7, 8 years, yeah. So we thought what we'd do is we'd bring you back on and we'd talk about all the stuff that we've done. Some of the stories you may have heard, some you may not have. Because I was thinking on the way up, like, oh, this would be interesting. But then I thought, maybe we told most of these stories on the Jack Mate podcast.
I'm sure they've been told many a time before.
Yeah. And obviously, we get more listens now. So more of an, oh, it sounds like a dig at you. But there's more people to hear the stories. And when we tweeted that you were coming on, as you quite rightly said to me on WhatsApp, a lot of people remembered sort of niche stories that we told.
Yeah, like the pavilion story, which sounds a lot more glamorous than this.
That was your first kiss?
It was my first kiss.
In the rain at a pavilion.
And I spoke whilst having the kiss.
What did you say?
It was lovely here. And it was like, wow, and she's like, what? I was like, yeah.
It's lovely.
Not in the mouth, I meant just the setting.
When was your first kiss, Stevie?
When I was 15.
Really?
Yeah.
Player.
How'd it happen?
It was with my first ever girlfriend, Pippa. Oh. Lovely girl. I was with her for about a year and a bit. Not when we first kissed.
Did I ever meet her?
I don't think so. Mm. No, you didn't. But we were at our house and it was getting dark. So.
Had you spoke about kissing before it happened?
I can't remember.
You did. But
how would you feel if we were to?
Yeah.
But we were like laying in bed and it was like getting dark outside and then, went in for the kiss. Headbutt each other.
Did you? I think everyone did.
Because it was dark as well, so you couldn't see it. Just had to guess where the lips were.
Turn a light on your inside. she hadn't paid the electricity bill.
I was nervous.
You were squatting. That's what it was. She was passed out, needle in the arm.
How was your first kiss?
Oh, good. Real good, mate. No, it was a house party. I had a mate called Matty, and it was round his, and I had my...
and it was with him.
I had my first kiss the same night as my mate Westy had his first kiss.
Because it was with each other.
No, yeah.
American pie.
Yeah, and the two girls that we both respectively kissed... they were friends, and then Westy threw up after, and then went back to try and kiss, and the girl looked in and went, no.
Not tonight, Westy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to do that. He went, but it's lovely here. And she didn't want to do it.
Was this the stage when you used to wear your beanie all the time?
Yes. Yep.
Well, someone kissed you like that.
I know, mate. It's mad. I lost my virginity at 18, and I still had my old jaw and my fucking that piercing, whatever that is.
Tragus?
I can't remember what it was called. It's the chin.
Your chin
bottom.
Lip bit.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah.
That's a weird piercing for you to get.
And as people know, Labra, that's it, thanks for me. As people may have heard before, one of my first girlfriends, who I thought I was going to lose my virginity to, but I didn't because I was too frigid, like shared a bed with her a few times, but didn't do anything. The first night she ever stayed round, I slept in my beanie hat. all night. And I put James Blunt on, thinking that might...
James Blunt, Back to Bedlam, brilliant album.
I thought it might get her in the mood. Tom, you...
Failed attempt.
you knew of me.
See, I don't know the origin story of this in regards to where I discovered you.
Right.
Because...
Probably online.
I think I saw you on Hotel of Mum and Dad.
Oh!
I was going to ask you, did you mention in that that you... Is it mentioned in that you're a YouTuber?
Yeah, in that, yeah.
Because I think it must have been. I saw you on that. Basically, to go back further, I'm a videographer.
Yeah.
And we were asked to do a little series which needed two presenters to go around festivals to do little blind dates.
Yeah.
And I was asked, do I know anyone that could lead for the male part? And... I had no idea. And then I watched that show, mentioned you were a YouTuber. I had no idea what a YouTuber was. I thought you were funny. And then I looked at that and I was like, okay, I messaged you on Facebook.
You did indeed.
And I think, was that your first paid gig?
One of, definitely.
Yeah.
Certainly, yeah. Because I'd just broken up with that girl. Surprise, shock horror. Because if you saw Hotel of Mum and Dad, it was not a great relationship. She was lovely. I was just a prick. But... After we'd broken up, I was due to go to Australia on a little month's travels round with my cousin Reese, booked a camper van, booked a skydive over the Great Barrier Reef, did all of that. Well, booked all of that. And then 2 days before we were due to go, we played up goals, five-a-side, and he'd done his ACL, which is a cruciate ligament injury, and was put on a no-fly list, so couldn't go. I said we could rebook it later on down the line. He got the money back, went with his new girlfriend. But I'm completely over that.
Did you get your money back?
Some of the money, like 65% something. That's a very niche number, isn't it? When I don't remember, but I know it was quite
ish.
A lot. Yeah. So some would say that maybe the stars aligned because I was meant to be on the other side of the world. I wouldn't have usually done stuff like that just because I'd have probably been like, oh, I'll just go see my girlfriend. It's very boring. And I hadn't really done much presenting.
Got to take those opportunities.
Yeah. So then I got this little Facebook message and we went to Fest Date. And the concept of Fest Date was to go around six UK festivals.
Yep.
How many can you remember?
Boardmasters.
Cornwall.
Latitude.
And Suffolk.
Strawberry Fields. Leicestershire, I think.
Yeah.
Leeds. That's where I tap out. A Green Man Festival.
Yeah, I was going to say you went to a green one.
Yeah.
Green Man in Wales, which was a lovely place.
Yeah, and then we kind of bonded during that because it was being, despite away from the festival, we're driving up and down the country.
In a Sephira.
In a car, yeah. Very, very packed in. What did you think of the show? What was the final product like for you?
It actually was surprisingly, it was such a weird experience because... Not going to name names, but the person organising it was very much a big blagger. Managed to blag us to go to all these festivals.
Yeah, that was her name, Blagger.
Whilst the idea was she would find a guy who wanted to go on a date, you'd find a girl, then by the end of it, they go on a date at one of the food trucks there, which she's blagged. She didn't know where until we got there. Then she'd blag one whilst we're there, and we'd film them having the date, and then we ring them up afterwards and try to see how it all went, like a long time afterwards. And also, the kind of lure for them to do it is they're definitely going to get a free ticket to next year. Definitely didn't get any free tickets.
Really?
100% didn't. I mean, the show, where did the show go? No one ever saw it.
It was one of the weirdest shows I've done. But you know, like when you first start your career, like you take jobs like that, you think, oh, this is a proper job. Like, I'm properly presenting here. Was I? Really?
You were good.
Like, was I?
Genuinely were good. And it's because I couldn't talk to random people and go, hey, do you want to go on a date? And it's because you're approaching girls with a camera crew beside you.
Mm. Yeah.
I remember an awkward one in the first date. You sat by someone, it was Latitude, which is quite close to Norwich.
Yeah, that's on my sheet. Yeah.
Yeah. And you sat by a girl that you had a rendezvous with and you didn't recognise her until you were talking to her.
Mate, yeah, there was this girl that, like, as I've discussed on the podcast before, I've never really been one for one night stands, mainly because I looked like how I looked for a while. It wasn't my choice by any means. But there was one girl that was kind of like, I hate to use this term, but it's like FWB sort of thing.
What's that mean?
Friends with benefits.
So it's like,
so it was like,
sounds spicy.
So I'd like go out on a night out and then we'd meet up and then we'd end up back at hers, and that had happened like quite a few times. And then
a friend on benefits.
A mother on benefits. That's weird, isn't it? I was actually trying to say that was my own mum, but it came out that I was just implying she was a mother, which she wasn't. But it ended on kind of like not kind of like amicable. Yeah, that's not the word.
Amicable.
Yeah, amicable. It didn't end amicably, basically. We didn't have a big fallout, but it's just a bit awkward. I actually went on holiday and she slept with one of my mates, which was I was all right with.
Westy?
Nah, I'll tell you off air. But
was it me?
No, no, definitely not you. She said you repulsed it to look at.
No, I get that.
Wait until it's dark and then we'll do it.
She said your urban legends were terrible. But we've got more of that coming next week. No, later on this week. So stay tuned for that. And Tom's Tom's actually going to be joining us for that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm excited today.
I reckon there'll be some good ones.
Anyway, so I slept with this girl a few times, ended not on great terms. And then the plot of this show, which Tom quite rightly just described, is I have to run around and get a boy and a girl and put them together. And at this particular event, Big Blagger was on men and I was on the female. And there's this girl sat up on this hill, and a lot of them would say no, wouldn't they? The people that we were approaching. So I was like running, gunning with a microphone, like hi. This was my go to question. Hi, do you want a date? But don't worry, not with me. Bit of self deprecation. Yeah. And there was this girl sat on this mound at latitude, probably about 70 miles away from where I live, and I just ran up there, jumped on the grass and just went, hi, do you want a date? And I was just looked her in the eye. I was like, oh, that's the girl. Oh. And then I just went, don't worry about it. And then I think she went, I know what you're doing, Jack.
So, yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I've hired a film crew to film me ask you to go on a date with someone else.
I'm going around all the people I've slept with, so it's you. And that's that. But yeah, we had some good times, I think. Well, a particularly good one for me. Well, a particularly bad one for me was probably Cornwall.
Bournemasters, yeah.
Worst hangover
in
my life.
Was that the first one we did? No. What? That attitude was, yeah.
That was the first one where we like proper chatted and stuff. And because we basically went on a night out, didn't we? Yeah. We recently went back to those haunts the other day. But I think I've said on here before, but that was still to this day the worst hangover I've ever had. I think it was. I think we were just drinking beers. I'm not really a beer drinker either. I'm drinking a lot of beers. I think we ended up getting back to the tent, which was just on this hill.
Yeah.
It wasn't at the festival, was it? It was just on this hill. And I think I ended up falling asleep at like 5, and it was like a 6:30 call time or something.
It wasn't that mental, I think. But yeah, you
really?
It wasn't 6:30.
I remember having like an hour's sleep.
That's on you. That's not on the call time.
Why are you defending Big Blagger?
It wasn't. You turned up and you were just you were dead, and you're literally laying on the pavement.
And it was like imagine like St. Stephen Street in Norwich, like a big like hustling bustling street.
How did you feel about that, being the one who got him on?
I think it didn't annoy me weirdly. Now it would. Yeah, I'd be very annoyed if it was doing it, but it was kind of like, you were still able to perform on camera. I think we made it as a thing, didn't we? We mentioned the fact you had a big night, and you were like, oh, I can't be able to do this. You're playing up to that character a bit, so it kind of worked.
Yeah, but I remember that the girl that we got on that festival, sounds a bit dodgy, doesn't it? With the girl that we nabbed on that festival, but she was the most attractive one that we had on any of the series. And I remember I was just absolutely stinking, very sweaty. Imagine how I looked, but imagine that as like a melted wax work. That was how
nice.
Yeah, and I just literally just like, hi, you're on a date. It's just like, oh god.
And she went with you. Like, no. No. That was the best as well. That partner, they actually looked like they could have been together. The one we got.
I don't think any of them lasted, did they?
No.
Big Blagger was a strange person.
Yes,
if you don't mind me saying.
Who's Big Blagger?
So she's the woman that organised this. Who was she? Insisted on presenting it as well. And Tom was like,
oh, so I know who it is.
Yeah, so Tom was just like, why don't you just let Jack do it? And she was like, no, I really want to. But she had some really like kind of like 1990s ideas about how things should be shot. Like, she was like, oh, I'll tell you what we should do. We should write Fest Date in the sand and you should film it from the top of the cliff.
Just you
like,
did that though, didn't you?
Yeah, well, yeah, because she was in charge.
Yeah, she was. And technically, she was the one supposedly going to be paying us.
Yeah.
It turns out, well, us as a film crew chased her for 3 years for our expenses.
Wow. That's terrible.
Our expenses.
That's so bad. I remember I turned up. Bear in mind, because there was a camera crew and I thought this was a real big presenting gig. I turned up and she asked me if she could borrow a tenner off me. She wanted to get some fags.
What?
And I was just like, who's this, Chief?
She told this story about...
Are you going to say about the eye?
Yeah. I've got some of my notes.
Good, yeah.
I like that he came with notes.
Yeah. He's on my sheet.
You're only the second person so far to come here with notes.
Yeah.
Not that great notes, but... She was telling a story about... She's like, she must have been drunk or something when she did this, but she was taking a contact lens out. And she peeled her own... what'd she say?
Cornea
off.
How? She must have fallen asleep at him.
Oh,
but what? So she falls. If
you fall asleep in it, it'll dry to your cornea.
Oh, because you're not.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Disgusting woman.
She won't watch this.
No.
People might send it to her, though, when they realise
her name was Linda.
Yes.
It wasn't.
I know.
Linda, not real.
what about after that? I think one of the next things we did was. Yeah. Hip to be a hipster.
That was the next thing.
So yeah.
I remember that the first thing we shot with you afterwards was Hip to be a Hipster.
How was that experience for you?
It turned out really well.
Yeah.
Do you think it turned out really well? It was stressful. Mm. The day was really long.
Mm. We did the whole thing in one day because of my beard.
Yeah, one line.
One little money shot in the thing, we had to go back and...
But how good was that shot in the end?
It was good.
You smashed it.
Yeah, it was a music video that a music song that me and Stevie had written months prior called Hip to be a Hipster, which I'm sure a lot of you will know. We meme it quite a lot on here. Just a piss take of hipsters. And I really wanted to have the video professionally done, but I didn't know anyone. But obviously, stars aligned. Tom came into my life, shot it with Azure Button Productions, your company at the time, and one of the jokes in the song were...
Do the line.
What is it?
It was...
Oh, shit, son, you're looking kind of weird.
No. You look. Hold on, mate. You're looking kind of weird. Oh, shit, son, I'm forgetting the beard. And then I suddenly grow a beard to look more hipster.
You sprout a full beard. And we didn't want to go fake and put a fake beard on you. You look like a Guess Who character or something.
So you made me grow a beard to shave it halfway through the day and then go back and do the beginning of the video... At the end
this
of the
is,
day.
This is,
but we also shot at different locations, which we had to shoot again with the beard and
so
without the beard.
So we had to go back to three locations again.
We kind of shot it in reverse order, didn't we? Because we shot the ending at sunrise and...
We said sunset, I think.
Sunset.
We shot the ending... No, we shot the ending shot at sunrise.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I had a beard.
The beard was...
We did it at the start of the day.
The beard comes halfway through...
Sunrise,
yeah. And at sundown, we shot the start. Jeez. To make it look like... And it was just... For one line, it made the day so much more painful, going A, B, C, and then back to C, B,
Worth
A.
it, though.
It was worth it. It didn't get hardly any views.
No.
It was one of your first things to get over 100,000 back
was it?
Then. Not like as a viral thing, but you were shocked. And it was number one on the iTunes comedy chart.
That's good.
In music.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
When Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like Sweet Tarts Twisted Rainbow Ropes, Gummies Fruity Splits, and Chewy Fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine. Visit SweetTartsCandy.com to shop now.
What kind of subs were you on in that kind of time? Was that pre?
So this was October 2014.
Great knowledge.
That is mad.
I sent you something the other day that popped up on Facebook saying six years ago.
So. I reckon I'd have probably been on around about 100K.
Yeah. That rings a bell. I was amazed as well at these festivals, going back a little bit, the amount you recognised on 100K.
Yeah.
It was happening a lot.
Now nobody cares.
No. Well, I wouldn't say that if I'm on 1.3 mil now, I wouldn't say that I get recognised 13 times the amount. Well, no, I wouldn't say so.
Mm.
It was weird. Maybe YouTube was just more of a like a thing then. I don't know. Who knows? But that was fun. It turned out really well.
I learned one thing that day, Steve, because you had a lot of ideas on the day which weren't planned in the thing. And then I learned a new way to deal with people having ideas. I just said, We'll try lots of things. And then after that, I used it on every shoot when someone asked me to do something.
You're welcome. I actually don't have a clue what I tried to...
That's his polite way of going, that's a shit idea, but we'll come back to it.
No, it's not we'll come back to it. We never come back to it. it's more of it if it's planned... If it's an idea before the shoot, I'm like, okay, cool, we'll factor that in. But yeah. It's an idea that's on the shoot during the take, and it's like, we've got to do everything again. Obviously, not going to do it.
Yeah. So, fair enough. It was fun. And then you shot a few more music videos for me, didn't you?
Yeah, Badoo.
The Dating Game.
That was another weird one.
You were involved in that.
It was so hot that day.
One of the hottest days of the year.
And a pink wig.
probably a bit problematic now, isn't it?
No, you just made a Conchita joke about me. That's not the worst.
I'm sitting
thing.
Here with the next Eurovision winner.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's not a bad joke. You've gone on a date with a woman with a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
You were pretty keen to dress up as a woman.
Yeah, you actually only wrote that line because I was really keen to do it.
Yeah. And I remember I got a bit really bad hay fever attack that day and my eyes swelled up. Do you remember? If you watch a shot of me in Rachel's house, like I've got big swelly
eyes.
Yeah.
That was a really cool video as well.
Yeah, it was good. But then, away from all these shoots, I think the main thing that we did together, the first thing where it's like you're in front of the camera, was FUBAR.
Yeah.
FUBAR Radio. Did you listen to any of the shows, Stevie?
Nope.
You didn't listen to any of the shows?
I don't think so.
FUBAR, do you know what it stands for?
No.
It's an army term.
What does it mean? Have a guess. It's an acronym.
What, each one means something else?
Yeah, that's what an acronym is, yeah.
Fire under barrels.
Nah, it's
all the barrels.
It's fucked up beyond all recognition.
What's that got to do with the army?
So if a body, you can't recognise who it is.
Oh, that they just went, oh, he's FUBAR.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's FUBAR. Like him in the back.
Like a carry on. But I didn't know when we, because our mate Will Brazier, he emailed
Producer
me.
Will.
Producer Will on the show, yeah. He emailed me a template email because I knew because Hijack was in a completely different colour and font to the rest of the email. And when I was coming in, I thought, well, it is a legitimate radio station in London. Like, it is a legitimate station, but I thought it was more of a... I didn't know it was like an edgy radio station. Like, look at us, it's FUBAR. Mm. And the guy that runs the station, who we're both fond of, but I think I wouldn't be wrong in saying that he really tried to push the idea of being edgy.
Well, that was the unique selling point of the station.
Yeah.
Because they weren't being monitored by Ofcom. They could swear and stuff.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And they had a lot of kind of, like, questionable characters hosting. So, like, Justin Lee Collins had a show.
Pretty questionable.
He wasn't questionable at the time. Or was he?
I think he was.
Oh, was that after that point?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because he was doing Channel 4 and everything.
Yeah.
And then he did that.
True, yeah.
James Acaster has started on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, bloody hell. Yeah. That is questionable.
No, he's a good lad.
Katie Price had a show?
The Pricey.
Oh, wow. But then, like, didn't you
what?
Meet...
That's the voice.
Didn't you meet, like, Michael Payne through that as well?
Yeah, Michael,
who's been on the pod.
We did the 4 till 6 Friday slot, which is a great slot, by the way. Mm. And he did the 2 till 4. He did it with a guy called Hugh. did it with Hugh.
Looked at me, I did not help at all. Huey.
Yeah.
Oh, I should know.
And became friends with Michael through that, really, because growing up, I really liked his music. And I like, he's been in here now as a guest on this show.
He has.
Just an absolute cool guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
just
very cool.
Very cool guy, effortlessly cool. So we'd go in, he'd do that, and then we'd go on after. And so I think, as much as I enjoyed presenting, I think I really... learned a lot by the fact that I shouldn't really do live presenting.
Yeah. There's a little red button on the desk with literally like a little plastic case over it.
It's called the dump button.
The dump button. You could, if someone says something outrageous, you can delay the thing by pressing it, which then people can kind of get rid of it.
Yeah. But basically, we're live, but we're 14 seconds out.
Okay.
And the dump button's a 7 second delay, and you can press it twice before you're actually live. And as soon as we came in, me and Tom are like a bit nervous. We've never done anything
so
like
get
this
two
before.
Chances for yeah. the whole show.
Yeah. And we came in and Producer Will, who had only just met, he explained the situation. He was like, never had to press it yet. So it's just like, brilliant. Because we didn't, did we?
No.
I don't think we ever pressed it.
How far could you go on that show without needing that button?
It was as far as you want to in your own career, because the big boss man was like, yeah, say this, yeah, go on. Like, it's a bit like a Del Boy, but like a, yeah, go on, like, yeah, slag him off. Like,
the funny thing is, I remember after the first couple of shows, Jack took me to one side and he was like, can I have a word? I was like, yeah. And he proper like, I was like, what's this? Like, what's this about? He's like, you need to start swearing on the show.
No. did not.
You genuinely told me off for not swearing on the show.
What?
Yeah, you said you need to swear more.
Did I?
100% did.
That's I get that.
What for the sake of, because it's
I don't know if it was because you felt the pressure of swearing or you thought it made you cool or something.
Oh fuck off. No, I think it made me cool.
But you are like, you need to swear more. It's even in the, because I put so much effort in, like you doing this, effort into the show. And that I
What was that?
I meant as in he was not putting the effort.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
I'm not sniding you back like you got me early. I made jingles. I wrote plays every week, which we read at the end of the show.
Oh yeah, we had
Tom's Tales.
What did Jack put into the show?
That's what I mean.
Well, we used to take turns on the play.
Although that was after a while.
Yeah,
I wrote a big story about how all these sea creatures used to look at this like human like sea world under the sea, and it was all rhyming couplets.
Do you remember your first one? It was called The Disabled Boy.
No, it was not called The Disabled Boy.
The Disabled Boy and the Crow That Could Fly.
It wasn't The Disabled Boy. The woman who lived in the shoe and the crow that could fly. It was not The Disabled
What's
Boy.
What's The Disabled Boy got to do with this?
Nothing. Really,
I thought it was The Disabled Boy. But can I just point out...
He doesn't listen.
Can I just point out, and the crow that could fly.
That was kind of the funny bit.
Most crows can.
Yeah. Most crows can.
Well, there will be crows out there that are unable.
Wait until the end of the story.
Yep. Disabled crows.
We had a few close calls, basically, doing live radio. You're obviously going to slip up a couple of times. There's two that come to my mind.
Yep.
The first one is, basically, it was a two-hour show. We broke the show down into 8 15-minute segments, and obviously because there was no visuals like there is here, like it was literally all audio. When we'd have a good segment or a bad segment, I used to just hold up the bit of paper with the tick or the cross on, because we used to always like wig our producer out by like trying to make it seem like we're having a bad show.
Yeah.
So like Will would be talking, he'd be doing the whole segment, I'd just hold up the bit of paper and do a big cross like no one's enjoying this. And we cut to an ad break halfway through, and I thought we was having a particularly bad show. A lot of them were quite bad, but I thought this one was really bad. I just thought it was boring. And I went, oh God, we are flopping, aren't we? And then you agreed. I was like, this is shit. Who the fuck's listening to that? And then I just see the producer up at the window going, stop, you're still on air. So and the thing is, we just cut to Queen, Don't Stop Me Now. So as it was going, I'm going, we are flopping, aren't we? Oh God, this is shit. And people could tell that wasn't part of the joke. We could, with that one, we kind of like brushed off as a joke.
Yeah.
The one that I struggle to brush off.
Yes.
Is probably the most awkward moment, and I am going to say it now.
Yeah, because it's not, you're not
because
saying.
This isn't my intention, but like we used to always, me, Tom and Will, producer Will, used to always like slag each other off, and sometimes it got a bit snarky in there, and we'd get a bit like annoyed at each other. And
we used to use, I don't know, that you got.
Yeah, well, Will used to always say about like, he's like a proper like Brummy lad, and he's quite a joyful lad, I think is fair to say. And he'd be like, why are you being so negative? Like, come on, like pick it up. He'd try and make the show better. Yeah. It's weird that he's trying to make our show better.
if you want to make it better, you should have more work.
and I went, oh, I don't care, mate. I'm in a neggy mood. And I've never said this word before, but I went, I'm just a little negger, right? And I didn't know.
And we both gave him the eyes, like, what are you saying?
It didn't come into my head at all, because I didn't mean anything by it. And Will's looked at me and gone, like, basically, shut the fuck up. And I said it again, and I went, what? I'm just a little negger, like that. And then I went, anyway, coming up. But, and then I went to the break, and then Will took his headphones off. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what? He's like, what does that sound like? And I'm like, oh my God. And I was like, oh, it's going to be fine. It's going to be absolutely fine, because I didn't mean it. But got tweets.
Did you tweet?
Yeah, got a few tweets, yeah. When I say loads, I mean about four.
How many people listen to the show?
We never got the stats.
No, that's one thing. Yeah, they said that he never... I know the first shows, apparently, in terms of the other shows, were like
better.
Record...
Right,
record breaking shows.
But if you saw the other shows,
we could have got
about 12 views. Yeah,
we had someone ring in once, which we didn't know there's a ring in number, and they were just like, just wanted to chat. And we're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I remember that. And then I remember once we went in, and this was before I knew that Justin Lee Collins was at the station, and and then producer Will was like, yeah, Justin comes in here, like he started telling us about his skin condition, because he's got like, is it psoriasis?
Psoriasis,
something like that. He's got a flaky skin condition. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, he just sits in and he scratches and flakes off everywhere. And I just looked at Will dead in the eye. I was like, where does he sit? He was like, yep, your seat. I was like, oh, brilliant. And apparently just before we came in to do the pilot, Will was having to scrape off all of Justin Lee Collins' flakes into a bin bag.
Bin bag makes it sound so much worse.
I know.
Just a little snow globe.
Yeah, but that was FUBAR Radio. Yeah. You have fun with that?
I like FUBAR. We even had a pilot for Comedy Central, which went nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Because you ruined that.
Did I?
Because you then tried to pitch to Comedy Central a different idea you had, and then they...
Did I?
How do you know any of this stuff?
I can't remember.
We had a big show with Comedy Central, which was a pilot for online, and we had people like Emma Blackery on, Aaron Kraskel on, Michael Payne.
Yeah, Kean Toomey.
Schaefer went on.
Anto. Yeah. Sharp. And then the idea was all these viral people, they're going to share it and all this stuff. And then during that process, you tried to pitch an idea to Comedy Central, a different idea, and then it kind of muddied the waters between what was going on.
Did it?
Yeah.
I really... Sorry
to break it to you, but we didn't get the show.
I don't imagine Jack as much of a pitcher.
I think he saw it an opportunity.
I pitch all the time.
Do you?
Yes, I've always pitched to brands.
Do you?
Yes.
What do you do in that pitch?
I've made like 5-page decks before.
Yeah, it's just email a deck.
Oh, I imagine like in person. Oh, I can imagine Jack pitching.
No, it's digital revolution, mate. We're all online. You don't take a fucking briefcase to fucking Comedy Central.
I carry that briefcase
with a little like mask.
I just find in person seems like the nicer way to do it.
Yeah.
Either way, you failed. So
yeah, the show was quite good though.
There's some funny ones, isn't it?
I don't know if I could do live.
I thought we got a show.
You'd be... What do you mean?
We did 6 shows, didn't we?
It wasn't a show on... It's just online, yeah.
Oh, and that might have been on TV.
Because it's all like... Yeah, the idea was that could possibly translate to being on Comedy Central TV.
Right, okay.
Because, yeah, there are things we did in the pub next door, like people's face on the dartboard, and it was all edgy.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, it was a bit grim.
Yeah.
You did the Fluffy Bunny Challenge.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was grim.
We were doing that to take the piss, weren't we?
Yeah. I love how you don't remember any of these things.
No, were we doing it ironically?
Yeah.
On live as well, yeah.
You'd be fine live.
But yeah, you'd be all right. It'd be me that you'd have to worry about.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do live because I think I'd be cancelled through him.
The beauty about this is you guys create your own content, you pick your guests and like you have complete control, whereas that we still had to kind of crowbar certain things in.
Didn't yeah.
We?
And last story before we move on. One of our assistant producers... Moved to Canada shortly after.
That's not relevant. Done for...
Got done for nonsense.
I remember you telling me about that.
Laptop full of it.
And his name was the same name as someone else who was done for nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll keep it very loose, but yeah. Yeah, that's
done
very...
Done for nonsense.
That's very
such
interesting.
Such a good way to put it.
When we come back after this short break, I want to talk to Tom. A story that we've told on the podcast before that a lot of people enjoy. So hopefully we'll go over some same stuff, but we're going to hear it from a different angle. We're going to hear about my old YouTube manager. Because Tom knew him. Tom was basically the one that maybe pulled the plug on him not being so true the night we had a Skype and you zoomed in and stuff like that.
Got that in the old nights.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Jackmate podcast, the original podcast that I guess turned into this over time. So come back in a jiffy.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations of Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Football's back and we are here to laugh about it.
Hellenius in the League Cup, he was trying to like defend with his hands and he yanked his shorts down.
Straight off, see you later.
Yeah. But Elenius got the shot away, which I thought was very professional.
Yes. Whether it's players losing their pants or managers losing their shit.
And I thought about that when you could just hear Moy shouting at Pablo Fornal. And then he just loses all sense of himself at the end when Fornal blazes it over. And like, oh.
Yeah. That was the noise. Yeah.
The Football Rambler here every day with new episodes covering the lighter side of football.
I walked past a trophy shop at the weekend that said we're only allowing one person in at a time. Nobody wants any fucking trophies, mate. Don't worry, but no one, there's nothing happening.
Also,
no one's achieved.
Null and void. Your five-a-side league is null and void. Piss off.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He went through and all you hear is,
shoot, Pablo, shoot.
finish. Pablo.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to the Jackmate to the Happy Hour podcast. I had Jackmate podcast on my brain.
Not in front of Stevie.
I've got some news.
I feel broken.
We're testing the waters.
How do you think this is going?
Slow rotation.
Yeah, I was binned off. So yeah, me, Alex
Jordan. I'm next. It's fine.
You're the lone survivor.
I know.
That's mental, isn't it?
Of all the people as well. Mm. Don't worry. I put myself at the bottom of that pile.
There's still time.
Yeah,
there's still time.
No, I'd understand.
As we alluded to before the break, my old manager, the name's out there. People can find it if they want. But for the sake...
Hey, how are you doing? Hey, you all right? What are you doing? You're not doing the Jackmate podcast anymore. Never had a hobnob.
He did have a really weird voice, didn't he?
Very deep voice, did
I
John?
I think he does voice overwork now, apparently.
Yeah. Well, honestly, his CV was often bolstered a lot more than it was, wouldn't it? Like, literally, as we spoke about before, went to California with him, and a couple of weeks later, when our relationship broke down, mainly because he went to jail, his CV had the name of my vlog, my second channel vlog on it, Hello California, and he put that he was the second lead.
Wow, I don't even remember that.
Do you not remember that?
Do you remember the prank and, like, the film, the trailer for Prank and Rachel?
Yes, I do. Mm. The weird
CG
on the FaceTime thing.
So just a quick overview, because I know I've said it before. I had a manager, YouTube manager. He was the first manager I ever had in the space. I thought it was a lot more official. He was actually a good manager. He was getting me some good gigs. I got a well-paid Pizza Express gig, which was far more than I'd ever had before. But he had a murky past. A lot of YouTubers messaged me before I made this relationship and was like, watch him. He's done fraud before. So I was like, oh, this might not be
he's
good.
He's done fraud.
He's done fraud. Yeah. He's done some of that.
And I kind of like tested the waters. As I say, he did all right. So we moved on. And then after about a year and a half of not only being manager and client, but also being good pals, he just went to prison randomly. And I had nothing to do with it. I didn't know he was going. I got called up by the press the next day and asked for a quote. Didn't even know what had happened. But it was a web of lies that one day I'd love to make into kind of a documentary or something. Not a documentary.
It'd be great if you'd have sit down and talk to him about it.
Oh, imagine him on the podcast.
That would
be a very good guess.
I bet he would. Well,
probably would. He could put it straight on a CV.
Satire. But, yeah. Jokes like that, he probably is not going to come on.
But would he come on? Because we've basically spoken about his lies.
But then it's a case of him putting them to rights. It's the right of reply, response.
Yeah. John, if you're out there, mate, and you want to... What?
His name's James.
I'm trying to be anonymous.
We've mentioned him on here before.
We have.
Why is that relevant?
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah.
It's in the fucking news.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Big blagger,
really,
some would say.
Really allergic to bees.
Really allergic to bees.
Oh,
yeah.
That was hilarious.
This is the annoying thing. Like, and I'm not now trying to defend him because it was a bit cunty what he did, but he was good at his job.
He was good.
He had a big... not to blow my own trumpet, but I fully trusted him. And I was a big coup for him at the time. Like, the channel was okay. It was going somewhere.
To be honest, he didn't do anything wrong as your manager to you.
He did nothing wrong. The only way he ever wronged me was lying about the lies that he was already living.
Yeah.
But I think it's what the case of when you get caught up in your own lies, you're in that web of lies, aren't you? And some of the lies were just so needless. Like when he said that he had a wife at home, they lived on this farm, and he never had a wife. And I'd meet him in London, and he'd go, say her name was Jessie. Oh, Jessie made me a lovely lasagna last night. The lasagna she makes is impeccable. And it's like, when I found out that was all bollocks and he was single.
He had a microwave meal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even lasagna. That's
a spag bol, yeah. And he said that he was mates with Zac Efron.
Yeah, so that one. So I remember us talking about him for a while, and then I was like, he's not mates with me. Yeah, you've got these pictures. You sent me the pictures. I zoomed in on the things. I saw these lanyards and I Googled the word on it, and then it was a lookalike convention.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was so fucking dumb. I didn't even realise.
And didn't he take it even further and FaceTime Zac Efron in front of you?
Yeah. When we were in California, bear in mind, yeah. So I'd never been to another country for work before. And James was like, look, I've got you this film in LA and Vegas. And I was like, wow, this is for the real deal. And I remember absolutely buzzing about it, as anyone would. And he was like, I've got this penthouse suite like in Santa Monica. Like, it's absolutely lovely. And as we went over, there was an issue with him getting the key. He said he had a mate over there and he couldn't get the key. And he told me the location. I'd Googled it, I'd seen it and everything. So he went, so I can't go. Like, my mate's gone abroad and he can't leave me the key. So I've got another mate and we're going to stay at his. But it's a penthouse as well. It's fine. So I was like, oh, wow, fair enough. All right, one penthouse to another. It's all the same to me. We got there. The key was left under the mat. At the time, I didn't realise how Airbnbs worked, right? At the time. So we were meeting another couple of guys over there who worked in a separate company, and who I'm still friends with today, a guy called Jeremy, lovely guy. And he flew in, walked into this apartment what we're in. Bear in mind, I've forgot that this isn't James's apartment. I forgot what he said to me on the plane. And Jeremy goes, hey, that's a lovely TV you got on the wall. And then James goes, yeah, yeah, I know, I bought that last time I was here, yeah, it looks really... And I didn't put two and two together, and now I think back, I'm like, hang on, 1 minute it's not your flat, but you put the TV
He's
on...
He's had to tell another lie to someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Just say you've rented an Airbnb.
I think he told so many lies that he tripped up and he forgot, but there was a night when we were in Santa Monica, went to this English bar, like Brits do when they're abroad, got pretty pissed... Went back and he was telling me about. I started prodding him on the Zac Efron thing. Like, how do you know Zac? He's like, yeah. And he got his phone out after fiddling on it for a while. And he had Zac Efron in his call contacts. So I'm pissed and I guess I'm probably gullible anyway, just because I've known a lot of nutters and it would take a gullible person to befriend a lot of nutters. But I asked him to FaceTime him and he went, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he went away and he come back and was like, he's going to FaceTime me in a minute. And he got a FaceTime and it was just the phone was being held by somebody under a table and you couldn't see the face. And it was just a hit. And it was pitch black. And he was like, he's in a nightclub at the moment. He'll call me back tomorrow. No, he went, we'll go for lunch with him on Sunday. So I was like, mad that I'm just going to randomly go for lunch with Zac Efron. That never happened. No. He cancelled. He was meant to be friends with Katy Perry and all this stuff. Yeah. And then obviously, as longer term listeners of the show will know, when you discovered the lanyard, I didn't have the balls to call him out on it.
No. But the thing is, he was, as I said, he was delivering. He just seemed to pepper everything with lies.
Yeah.
So it's one of those where it's sad that he felt the need to lie.
Yeah. He said that his dad owned an airline.
I think he owned a plane.
You know, he does own a plane, yeah. Because when I got a call from the...
just stretch the truth a bit on that
but
one.
That's the thing. If that's already true, that's impressive enough. Mm. You don't have to...
I remember the moment we found out, because we were at football, weren't we? And
yeah,
I just went
you,
on my
yeah.
phone and I was like, Jack, have you seen this? And you were like, what?
Yeah.
And that's mental.
Showed me the article and it said...
It was like 1080, wasn't it?
YouTuber manager of Jackmate, James Yates, jailed for fraud or whatever it was. I can't remember if it was fraud.
Then you just had to keep going through phone calls to be like, I have no idea about any of this.
I think it was. I remember it being fraud, him using credit cards from old companies to pay for things, and possibly even where you stayed.
Wow.
Possibly.
Maybe. Maybe, because I don't know how else he was getting the money at that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, people calling me up was like, can you give me a comment on this? And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Not only do I need to say, or obviously I had nothing to do with it, I'll go further than that and say I didn't even know he was going to court. Like, he wanted me to go to London with him and Robbie Knox one night for a Pizza Express, and the next day he got sentenced. Mm. The next day. Well, spend it with your family then.
But then he got his dad involved in the lies, didn't he? Because his dad messaged you when he was in prison now.
Yeah.
You're not going to see him for however long he was sentenced for. And you get a message from his dad saying, oh, he's had one of those allergic reactions. And he sent you a photo, didn't he?
Yeah, apparently James used to get an allergic reaction for a bee sting or a spider bite or something that blow up his face. He looked like the Elephant Man. just a little dig. And his dad called me up and was like, he's not going to be able to speak to you. But it was weird because it was clearly a lie because he was like, he's not going to be able to speak to you for about 3 months.
Or 1.5 on good behaviour.
Yeah. And I was like, put him on loudspeaker, cunt. And he obviously didn't because he was in prison. But apparently, I heard on the grapevine that when he turned up to court, they say bring a spare pair of boxer shorts and stuff and don't bring any belongings because you're not going to need them. And he turned up with absolutely no spare clothes and a laptop.
He was that confident he was going to get away with it.
Apparently,
he
cried when he went down, which is sad. I don't like to see that in anyone. Like he was actually a mate of mine. I liked him and defended him above everyone else. That's what. By the way, when I spoke about this on my main channel shortly after it happened, get a bit of clickbait out of it. Why not? He lied to me. I'll cash in. But he threatened me. He DM'd me and threatened me, and he was like, "I know what you get up to in your personal life." He was like, "I know what your dad's done." So fucking, I don't give a shit what you say about my dad. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, my dad went to prison for an accident. You went to prison because you were a cunt to people.
Yeah, and your dad did his time for you.
Yeah, exactly. So that was that. And
I would love to see a conversation. It would be very interesting viewing if he'd be up for it.
It would be incredible. So if you are out there, James,
I'm still friends with him on Facebook.
I'm as well.
I love reading his stuff. The stuff he posts now is amazing.
I will say now that I don't think he'll come on.
I think, Steve, you should message him.
I could be the in-between.
Oh, I'd love that.
It would be... It would be incredible.
I'd message him.
Message him. That's what we're going to do.
So good.
That's what we're going to do. So, anyway...
And then Dapper laughs.
Oh, God. That'd be interesting, though.
It would. It would be.
Yeah. I don't know why I said oh, God, because actually, thinking about it... We met Dapper last, didn't we?
We did meet Dapper last.
We've spoken about that. That was when we did our sketch channel... 4 hour sins.
We're talking so much stuff that Stevie can't jump in on, so I feel bad.
That's all right. Fuck him.
I'm a listener. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. 4 hour sins. Did you watch any of the sketches?
I did.
Did you like them?
Yeah. No, I really liked
Josh.
Yeah, Josh was funny.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I like the other one, not you two.
Yeah.
No, Josh was funny though.
Yeah, it was funny.
We had a sketch channel about 5 years ago. Fiona said to me that when she first came round to where I used to live, the first thing she saw was a whiteboard that said 4 hour sins and loads of ideas. So
4 hour sins. Is such a good name.
It is a really good name.
I came up with it.
Did you?
Yeah, I definitely did.
Four, because it wasn't like for our sins, Father. It was the number 4 hour, as in time, sins.
Really long sketches, though.
6 minutes.
Why were they that long?
I don't think we really thought of it as kind of like skit comedy, sketch based.
I was going at the 4 hour joke. But,
Six
minutes.
But I think they were more kind of like, we imagined them to be short, kind of like sitcoms.
I think you were very inspired by Jack and Dean, weren't you?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. They were funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They nailed it.
We had some good ones. What was your favourite one?
British accents was quite funny. Didn't make much sense, but
yeah, that was good.
Brace Off was good.
Brace Off was my favorite. I think
I might try and put one of these out. Just I edit for Jack's Facebook, so I might try and put one out on there and see how it does.
I think it would flop
massively. I guess it probably would because it's such a weird humor as
yeah
well.
But I'm gonna probably put in some clips here because no one really knows about this channel. Like, if you imagine the kind of views that we get, like on the main channel on Facebook, the views that this podcast pulls in, like I'm entirely grateful for everything, but that channel never really took off.
Yeah, I think it probably says something about the... they're nicely shot sketches.
Yeah.
They look nice. And some of them were occasionally funny.
Yeah. What was the most viewed video we had on there?
Oh, fuck nice.
I think the channel's still up. So if you guys are intrigued and want to go check it out, go to youtube.com/4hoursins.
I don't have a moment where I remember like watching one of those and thinking it wasn't good.
No, I thought they were quite good.
Yeah, I would have imagined it would have done all right.
Me and Josh occasionally, if we get drunk, we'll watch the bloopers.
Yeah, the bloopers were funny. Yeah. That is originally as well where I got the... We often ask hypothetical questions at the end of the show, and I always ask the 100 balls in a bag.
Yeah.
Oh, is that where it came from?
That's where I got it from. I wrote that into a sketch. I didn't get that from anywhere. Just and then we put it into a sketch. Yeah. Like,
that's a good question.
Yeah, but the joke in the sketch was that you've got 99 massive blue balls in a bag and one tiny little red one. Would you take the hit?
Robbie and Robbie Knox featured in one.
Yeah, Robbie, bless him. How many views, Fiona, is the most viewed got? Do you want to have a guess, Tom?
2,000.
I'm going to say 12,000.
No, I was going to say 12.
Fuck off, 12,000.
No, I'm going to go 18,000.
No.
6.9K.
I'm actually pleasantly surprised by that.
I think that's second was Robbie with 6.8K.
If you want to watch the sketch of Robbie in.
What was the most viewed one, Fee?
6.9K.
So the Robbie Knox. Oh, British accents. Sorry, I didn't see that. Yeah, British. Yeah, we did one about British accents. Fiona was in that.
Yeah.
And then Robbie Knox, we did one homeless. I wrote that. The punchline was weak,
yeah.
I'll admit.
Yeah, and the there's the one perfect moment in that where he rejects the word sandwiches in the weirdest voice. Including your sandwiches, and it made the cut, and it was just the oddest thing.
That's the thing, because we didn't really know what we were doing. We'd only kind of do one or two takes of each one. Yeah. So when we got back in the, didn't we?
We tend to be a case of, I said around yours in Norwich, and then we drive back, hungover, and then film it. And it used to be really hot days.
Oh.
I remember it just being like, it was fun, but at the same time, it was like, oh.
Sketches as a whole are so unusual now. Like, it all always leads. There's not many other things that all just lead to one punchline at the end. Mm. You can have little funny moments in, but if that last punchline doesn't hit, the whole thing's pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had one about pre-drinking, which was
terrible.
Yeah.
I think your bio, oh God, what is our bio? YouTube finest threesome.
Wow.
I think Dapper Lask suggested that when we saw him.
No.
but no, I thought they were more kind of sitcom based.
The idea, we live together in a house and it just kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And then that leads us on to the Jack Mate podcast.
Yeah.
Did we speak about that?
No.
We haven't yet. You got some good guests for that.
We did get some really good guests, actually.
Again, that's when the channel was 200,000?
Was that really?
Odd.
200,000.
You hadn't done the Zoella calendar video yet, so
yeah.
You were still small league.
200,000, and we used to, fucking hell, that doesn't seem that long ago, really.
It wasn't long ago. Your channel just blew up, didn't it?
Mad. And we filmed it at YouTube Space, but because I was only on 200K, I love YouTube Space. Like, they were very, very hospitable.
Yeah.
But I did get the vibe that, well, you can't have the big rooms because sidemen are in there.
We wanted to book out the same room for weeks in advance. And they're like, no, because people have already booked things. You can't book them all for that time. So we weren't able to get a regular rhythm with it. So it was really quite stressful.
It was quite sporadic. And I remember once, it was probably one of the most disheartened moments I'd had. We got Jimmy Conrad on.
Yeah.
Former USA team
footballer,
scored a goal in the World Cup, and still makes content now on YouTube. But we got him on, and I posted it on a Friday evening and went out for a few drinks. And I like 50K was always my goal from a video. I was like, if I get 50K, it's great. And usually I'd get that in a day or two. And I remember I went out a couple of hours later, I checked the views and it was on 1,900.
Really?
Yeah. And I was just like, wow.
Wow.
Wonder why it did so badly.
I think it was a case of just like not much of my audience being interested in football at the time.
And American.
American. Yeah. He's, I mean, with the greatest respects, he's a lovely man, but he's not Cristiano Ronaldo type clique.
Yeah.
Is
the guest that, like, really stand out to me, Eddie Hearn was really good. He's just a great storyteller.
Yeah.
Obviously, Gervais was really good.
Mm-hmm. Dynamo,
it was a bit awkward. I recently have edited it down for clips for Facebook and watched some of it back, and it was some awkward moments. Jack made me tell a dream. I told him a dream I had before it. A really weird dream.
Sex dream.
It wasn't a sex dream. It involved my dick, but it wasn't a sex dream.
Flying up?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
But what is going on?
Not going into that. I was at Hogwarts, and one of the punishments were, if you did something wrong, you had to write like a note where it was essentially going, I will never do this again. But they put the pen in your penis. And you had to write with your penis.
That is so a weird dream.
But he made me tell Dynamo that. And Dynamo's just there looking at his manager kind of going, why am I here?
Why did you make him tell him that?
And I was, it was so weird.
What in your brain went, Tell him. Tell our guest.
Dynamo will get there.
Like, back then as well, Dynamo was quite big.
Yeah.
And your podcast wasn't in comparison.
It was so strange that we got him.
Yeah, I would love to have him in here, because he has got good stories. He did have a lot of good stories.
I'm going to definitely not tell you any dreams before that.
I bumped into Dynamo about 6 months after
that.
He was
walking on the Thames. Like, oh, mate.
Float past the window.
got any candy?
I bumped into him at Reading, did I tell you?
No.
Yeah, and we was in the little guest area, and I went up to him, and I was, like, smashed. And I went up to him, and I went, hey, are you right, mate? And then he went, yeah, you're right. And this is by the time when his Crohn's was really bad. So he was on medication. And I just went, oh, mate, I'm absolutely smashed. And then I went, what are you drinking? What are you drinking? And he was like, I'm not drinking. I was like, oh, did you enjoy the podcast? He went, yeah. I went, see you later, mate. And just walked off. And I just made myself look like a complete cunt. Just a complete cunt. You know when you're pissed and you bump into someone and they just don't want to know?
Oh, yeah, I've had that a few times.
With me.
I guess you guys should have one, I remember, because it's the most starstruck I've ever seen Jack was the super vet. We bumped into the super vet in the Reading guest area. And you were like, oh, my God, it's super vet.
Yeah.
He'd be amazing.
That is an unusual person to get starstruck
I think
over.
What it is, yeah, I think, and I don't want to come across as arrogant here at all,
well,
right?
Don't do it then.
But because I've met a few celebs, right? And we'd even met, like, the Arsenal football team before that, right? But I find it more interesting when I find somebody that I know one of my friends likes, because it's like, oh, I might be able to get a video message for them or something. And Fiona loves Supervet, like, literally watched him all the time. So when I see him, I'm like, oh, fuck, like, this is going to be such a cool story to tell Fiona. Like, Fiona liked Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. But I met Supervet in the exact same spot that I met Machine Gun Kelly, right? Yeah. But those two meetings were the complete contrast of each other. Meeting Machine Gun Kelly was one of the worst moments ever. Like, literally ever.
So uncomfortable.
You were taking the photo, weren't you?
I put the phone away. It was how he was acting. I was like, I'm not going to take a photo.
Horrible. Literally, I'll just tell you now, I'm sure I've told you before, but, like, went over to him. We'd literally watched Youngblood set at Reading, and it was brilliant. And Machine Gun Kelly came out, did this, like, little bit, and I was like, that is so good. And I did, I will say, and I prefaced my video with this as well, before I'd seen him, I thought he looked like a bit of a knobhead. But when I saw him on stage, I was like, he's actually cool as fuck. Mm. So when we saw him in the guest area, and I had a few jars, obviously, so you have a bit of Dutch courage. And I went and literally went over and was like, oh, mate, I really liked your set with Youngblood. And he didn't say anything to me. I was like, is he listening to me? Because he had a joint. He was looking down at the floor. I was like, is he smashed? And then I went, is it all right if I can quickly get a picture? And he didn't reply again, did he? And he just turned and looked at me. And he just looked back down. And I went, is that all right? And he just looked at me again and went, what did he say?
Just hurry up and take the motherfucking photo.
He went, hurry up and take the fucking picture, motherfucker. Like that, in this deep, like, Alabaman accent. And I was just like, okay. And I'm shitting myself. I'm literally, my ass is flapping.
Like, when he didn't reply for the first two, I'd already put the phone away. Yeah. And then he said that, and Jack just went, I was like, okay, so I had to get the phone back out, and then I had to try and unlock it. I was like, this is so awkward.
Yeah, and I'm leaning in, like, smiling, not really knowing what to do, and you've seen the picture. Yeah. Like, he just looks down at the floor. He just looks like he wanted to be anywhere else but there.
I get not wanting photos in that situation, but you could just say no.
If someone's just said a good set, at least you'd be like, oh, thanks, mate.
You'd be buzzing over that.
I don't really fancy taking photos. So, yeah.
I've always thought that, like, maybe don't ask for pictures in the guest area, but I've been asked for pictures in the guest area and I absolutely love it. Like, I don't mind at all.
And the lads from Don Broco were lovely.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and that was, so it's like, to be in that same situation, everyone else is really happy.
Yeah.
And he just looked miserable.
The guy from Don Broco, Damiani, I always get that fucking mixed up. Rob Damiani, he was the loveliest man ever. Like, Jordan, or Doody Rhino, like, that's his hero, basically. Yeah, that's actually a great thing. It's a bit shit, isn't it? I might not say it. Jordan, that was his hero. So he saw Rob walk past him. He was like, fucking hell, that's the guy from Don Broco. And then the next day, when we saw him again, because Jordan bottled asking him, I was like, fuck it, mate, we'll just go over and ask him. And he was the sweetest fella. Like,
he was
literally
nice.
Said that he'd, like, recognised him from YouTube and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was mad. And then that brings us back to Supervet, what we were talking about. The nicest bloke.
Yes.
Pissed.
Yeah, he was very drunk.
But having a well good time. And I just thought, I was basically on a come down from Aaron Ramsey at that point, because Aaron Ramsey's like, they all a bit pretentious, weren't they?
Callum Chambers was there.
Callum Chambers, Oxlade, I think, was there.
I don't know.
Yeah, there was like three or four Arsenal players like back in the day before they moved and that. But yeah, that was an interesting time. And put my arm around Super Vet, and he was just absolutely buzzing, grabbed me. Yeah, he's just good. So good. So top man is Super Vet. But do you feel like you're a much better broadcaster because of stuff we've done?
I definitely feel like, because we haven't even mentioned, I'm a little plug here, but I'm doing a podcast myself with now a friend called I Can Murder a Podcast, a true crime-based podcast, but it's light as well.
Mm.
We've managed to make jokes whilst being respectful to the dead.
Which is must be hard, no?
Just don't insult the victims and insult the killer.
Yeah.
Tends to be the ingredients there to kind of... But yeah, it is a bit hard. Sometimes in the edit, I'll be like, yeah, a bit too close to the bone, get rid of it.
Yeah,
but,
you did. Episode one was about Stephen Paddock, the Las Vegas shooter, which, as I've said on this podcast, is probably the true crime piece that absolutely fascinates me. Yeah. I feel like because I love Vegas so much, I feel like I have some kind of weird connection to that place. So when I'm there, I'm looking at all the... So it was really good to hear your mate's insights on that, because obviously he's been there.
Yeah.
And it's just really well done. And I wouldn't want to plug it if I thought it was shit. So it is really good. So go and check it out if you get a moment. It's called I Could Murder a Podcast. It's out on YouTube and audio platforms.
Yeah, it's on iTunes, Spotify. Spotify.
At the time of recording, there's only two out, isn't there?
There'll be three out by this time.
Yeah.
Cool. In the latest case, Ian Huntley.
Ian Huntley. Wow. Fucking hell.
I think I prefer, I said to you earlier, I like watching the YouTube videos because the editing you do on it.
Really
you
smart.
Add in so much to it.
There's a lot of visual gags, which I'm too lazy to take the sound effects out of the audio version. So there'll be a lot of noises in there. Like, I made Stephen Paddock into an eel. There's lots of noises for that, which is on the audio, which won't make any sense to people listening to the audio.
But you add so much into the video side of it.
I appreciate that, mate.
It's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, it's fun. I definitely have learned from doing, obviously, FIBA and all those kind of things. You do learn about how to deliver things and how things are going to work. But definitely, yeah, there's much... definitely benefit.
Yeah, check it out, it's good. I feel like I've learned a lot as well, especially from you kind of reining me in sometimes, because I remember on FUBA I used to try and push it and you'd be like, just chill the fuck out a little bit.
Can you give me some tips on that?
No, you do anyway, because I would have been cancelled twice as many times as I have already if it wasn't for...
I think, Jack, I've learned over the years, like from doing the music videos and stuff like that, you say, can you turn up and learn and know the lyrics? Never turns out like that.
Yeah,
he's very much on the day kind of guy.
I'll do it on the day,
yeah. And it works. It's worked. And
it makes it more natural.
You need someone like Stevie or like me on the other things to kind of rein you in and kind of keep you in. Or Fiona, she does a lot for you as well
to focus you.
Yeah,
yeah. I during lockdown, I kept saying to you that I really wanted to bring series, well, both of you, because she was editing for Happy at the time, but I kept saying I wanted to bring series 4 back bigger than ever, which I think we've done.
Definitely,
But aside from that, I was like, because I always, I do a bit of research through the week, just a few Googles here and there, and then I write the show either the morning of the recording, so like on the way up, or the night before, and I was like, I'm going to stop doing that, and I'm going to make a point of actually doing it like a week in advance, it's all done. Do not do that.
But that's not the style of the show. And if you have people like Stevie, who I imagine you do a bit more research, it's like
you know
that he's going to be leading the way with the kind of information. And it's like you're just there to chip in and kind of the conversations get led where they get led. That's the good thing about the podcast. It's not a case of, okay, so we're going to cover all the boring things that you do.
Yeah.
I mean, meal deals.
Yeah, we didn't even ask yours.
Oh, I don't know. There's too much pressure.
Let's finish on your meal deal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm pescatarian, just to put that out straight away, so I still hate fish, but I eat them because I hate them so much. I probably would have Monster energy drink.
Yeah.
Prawn cocktail, crisps, and...
See, even your crisps are fish!
Yeah, and then tuna and sweet cream sandwich.
She's dead over it.
That'd be mine.
Such a simple joke, and I...
I eat them because I hate them. I like that. So, sorry, it was a tuna what?
Tuna and sweet corn.
I didn't hear a thing.
Tuna and sweet corn.
Actually, no, I'd probably have the double cheese and onion ones. That's quite nice.
What, sandwich?
Yeah.
Though
I get a bit of a fizzy head, I don't think cheese agrees with me. I just feel a bit hot here after eating.
You're like a nan.
Did you tell me in the fizzy head?
What was your drink?
Sugar-free Monster.
Oh, Monster.
Not for me.
I don't think we've had anyone say Monster yet.
It's the really white cans.
Yeah.
Right. What flavour's that?
Oh, what flavour is any?
All energy drinks just taste like chemicals. I hate energy drink.
Yeah.
It's helped me out for long drives, and also if I'm hungover, they'll really boost me. Mm. So yeah, I like that. And then yeah, prawn cocktail crisps. I also like the veggie samosas.
Do you?
Oh, I love a veggie samosa. Mm. M&S do really good ones. Ooh. Shouldn't have said that, should I? Mm. People called me Tory yesterday because I tweeted about that fucking eat out to help out thing.
You've just lived up to your name there, mate. So I think we'll leave it there. It's been a pleasure, mate.
Thanks for having me.
Reconvening in a public setting.
I'm looking forward to doing the old urban legends. Big fan of those.
Indeed. And I think this won't be the last time. Well, obviously, next episode, but it won't be the last time you're on. So always welcome back.
Thank you.
And
I'll come back every week.
Yeah, okay.
What do you reckon, guys?
And Stevie...
Strangely, I'm leaving.
That notebook that Tom's got, if you can just get his P45 out now, that'd be good. This has been Jack Makes Happy Hour, and we'll see you next time for some urban legends.
Jack Makes Happy Hour.
This was a Stakhanov production.